Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the longstanding teachers of our children here at St. Timothy told me a story just this last week. Apparently, many years ago, back when we had the preschool and the elementary grades, the children in our school would participate in our worship services. And this teacher still remembers a little four-year-old back when the students were all lining up to come into the church to sing. And this little boy kept ending up at the back of the line. "Why do you keep going back there?" the teacher asked. The little guy answered, "Well, that's because I want to be first in heaven." Out of the mouths of babes and infants. Didn't Jesus say in this morning's gospel lesson, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted"? Our gospel text this morning is a call for humility. Now, Jesus had been invited to the house of one of the leading Pharisees, you know, those very important people. And the Pharisees were all watching him closely, almost as if a stage prop for a setup job. There just happened to be a guy whose body was swollen with fluid. Now, today we'd call it edema. Again, the legal experts and the Pharisees were all watching to see what he would do. Now, the last time we came across these people, they were lying in wait back in chapter 11. I guess they're back at it again. And this is their trap. So he asks them, as if reading their minds, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" Silence. Of course, Jesus had already healed on the Sabbath, actually a couple times earlier in the gospel, most recently in the very last chapter. And in that last incident, Jesus had asked, "Wouldn't someone take care of an ox or a donkey, even if it were on the Sabbath?" Now, in this case today, we have a son and an ox falling into a well on the Sabbath and in need of help. This time, there is a human being who is in need on the Sabbath. How much more valuable is a child than an animal? Now, remember, what had prompted all this was someone swollen with fluid, literally waterlogged. And so Jesus turns to a child and an animal who have fallen into the water of a well. Do you think they could end up waterlogged? Now, when your body is swollen with fluid like this man's body, you become incredibly thirsty. You have this unquenchable thirst. Sort of like those legal experts and Pharisees who were watching. For them, it was an insatiable thirst for power and worldly honor. And this was a high-profile occasion at this leading Pharisee's home. Silence still. I mean, of course you'd take care of a child or an ox in need on the Sabbath. But aren't the ones who are really in need right there at the meal? Having silenced his critics yet again, Jesus has something to say to this high-profile crowd that had gathered to observe him. It turns out that there's more than one person who needs to be healed in this room. And ultimately what had brought Jesus home has been a dining invitation. And when Jesus shows up for a meal in Luke's gospel, watch out. There's more than mere food being shared. And it also turns out that Jesus had been watching the watchers. You know, he had been seeing how everyone had been jockeying for the best seats at the table, you know, the ones closest to the host. So sure enough, Jesus has something to say to everyone. Back in Proverbs 25, 6 to 7, "Don't boast about yourself before the king, and don't stand in the place of the great. For it's better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' than to demote you in the plain view of a noble." And isn't the king now here? So Jesus advises everyone that when they attend a wedding banquet, you know, one of those fancy meals where people don't just sit, but recline on couches, don't recline at the best place. A more distinguished person may arrive, and you'll be forced by the host to surrender your place. Now, when you arrive, take the lowest place in the house, and then when the host comes in, he'll see you there, invite you to move up higher. And you'll be honored in front of everyone there. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, did you notice how verse 7 calls this teaching a parable? Why a parable? See, that's a worldly story with an otherworldly meaning and point. Where's the parable here? I mean, this seems more like practical advice. But if we look closer, this is no ordinary meal. Jesus has shown up. And that means that eternity is on the table. In other words, how we behave at an ordinary earthly banquet has implications for the heavenly meal. Will we be publicly shamed at the last day? Or will we be exalted? Now, last weekend I was describing here at St. Timothy during our Worldview Conference a Salvador Dali painting. Now, you'll notice it's there on your bulletin cover. It's a depiction of the Last Supper. And you may recall in Luke's Gospel, Jesus had something to say there too about places of honor. For who is greater? The one at the table or the one serving? I mean, isn't it the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Jesus comes as a servant. Now, in that Dali painting, you would see that Jesus is sitting there at the Last Supper. His hand is raised in the air over the chalice and over the broken loaf of bread. And if you look closer, you'd realize that you're looking right through him and into the distance. See, for a moment there, you'd realize that you were in the presence of God. But then, notice the 12 disciples. Each one has his head bowed to the table before the Lord, in the posture of worship before the living God. And yet that God has taken on human flesh and is right there serving us. You'd notice a body on a cross in the background. He served us even to the point of dying for us. He died that we might live. And when you think about it, all that we can do in the face of this incredible sacrifice is to fall before him in worship. In view of all that he's done for us, in dying for us, in serving us, how can we be so bold as to take the highest place in the house? We are nothing in comparison with our Lord. If the Lord of the universe has suffered a shameful death on a cross, how much more should we consider ourselves nothing before others in this world? You know, my kids disagree with each other and fight. I've noticed that quite often some comparison has taken place. We end up concerned where someone else is sitting at the table. When that Dali painting, in the face of Jesus' sacrifice, disciples are all bowed facing the Lord. They're not facing each other. They're not even looking up. They're not even seeing each other. It's not about comparing ourselves with other people. The disciples are all facing and bowing before the Lord. That is the secret to humility. The humility our Lord asks us here in our gospel text is an act of worship. No matter where we are in this world, at work, at home, or at play, we're always seeking to place other people first, even as we ourselves bow before the Lord. The honor we give others is a way of worshiping and honoring the one who first served us and saved us. So where is pride rearing its ugly head in our lives? You know, maybe we're an oldest sibling and we like to lord it over our brothers and sisters. Maybe we have high status at our job and we like to lord it over those who work for us or who have lesser positions. Maybe we have status, whether it be that we're privileged in some way, and we want others to know that they just don't enjoy the same privilege. Maybe we look down on them. My wife taught me a game years ago. If you strike up a conversation, you'll notice that most people love to talk about themselves. So when we're talking with strangers, my wife and I like to place the spotlight on them. This is the important person, not we ourselves. Sure, we'll answer their questions to us, but it's amazing when you flip the conversation back to the other person how delighted they are to talk about their lives. But if we genuinely care about our brothers and sisters and view ourselves as the least in this world, why wouldn't we want to know more about them? It's about them, not about us. It's not about us. It's all about the Lord who died for us. An early Christian author once described a packed house of worship. Everyone was there, and there's not a seat left in the room. Well, then a poor, destitute beggar came into the gathering for the worship service. Probably smelled in his ratty clothing. You know, people were all looking around. Then the pastor got out of his seat and directed the poor man to sit there in the pastor's own chair. Well, once the man was comfortably seated, the pastor then sat on the ground. There are a lot of self-important people in this world. You know, I smile sometimes when new faculty members come to the university. Many insist that people call them Dr. So-and-so. We must always address them by a title. You know, the disciples in the upper room, they got the point. People called them simply Peter and Andrew. And later there'd be simply a Paul. No titles, no attempt at worldly glory or status, no attempt to get the best seat in the house. You know, like that little boy on his way into church that one Sunday here at St. Timothy, we consider it an honor to be the last in line in this world. We're called by a selfless Lord to put other people first. And Jesus is clear that there are heavenly implications with where we seat ourselves at these earthly meals. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So where are you seating yourself at the banquet? I hope we'll see you at the back of the line. Amen. We rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.